Joan. Wow! Really, it makes me happy. It's so funny because, like, she's just, like, she's awesome. Like, you hear this and you're like, kick ass, and she's just all in leather and spiked hair, and she kick you in your face and play the guitar all over you and rock you from here to Sunday. And then, like, I met her a couple times, and every time I met her, she's like, hey, how you doing? What's up? Okay, cool. Yeah, all right, come on, nice. Just come on inside, it'll be nice, really nice. All right, cool. And she's like the nicest, chillest, like most, like demure, like, hey, how's it going?
This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and Brian's giving us a little indication of his, you know, celebrity sightings with Joan Jett.
And it's not a sighting, I really just had a situation where I got to meet her a couple times, and I just think it's interesting that she's a different person, I mean, like completely, like off stage than she is on.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, she's the same person, and you can definitely see, you know, I mean, it's just very much like, hey, how's it going? Hi.
Yeah, well, I feel like we're pretty much the same people. We are on air as we are off air, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately, our train of thought jumps from story to story, and yeah, we just try to keep up to date with what's going on in the world while also just running the greatest radio station ever here at Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. And you can also download our app. You can take us with you wherever you go by going to your app store on your smartphone devices and download the Devil Radio app so you can take us with you. Just an update.
That's awesome.
For the listening audience, there was a crash that took place in the 9 o'clock hour this morning on Stoughton Road, Highway 51, and Cottage Grove Road. Authorities have it shut down. They anticipate it being shut down into the early evening. So if you're traveling on the east side of Madison, just be aware there is probably delays in that area, and you'll probably want to find a different route rather than using Highway 51 if that's your standard pattern for heading home or going about your day this Tuesday afternoon. We also do have an update here for the Madison community. Dick Wagner, a local politician here in Madison and a community servant and gay rights leader for decades, has passed away at the age of 78. So, Brian, the name sounded really familiar to me when we saw this headline come across our desks. And reading into it, Dick was an icon here in Madison, and he passed away yesterday. He was actually trying to, from what it sounds like, do a favor. He had the wrong groceries delivered to his house, and he was trying to deliver them to a different house, and he was found on a park bench on near Jenny Street in Madison. And so Dick passed away at the age of 78. The first openly gay elected official on the Dane County Board here in Wisconsin, a political leader in that community, as well as a mentor for U.S. Representative Mark Pocan and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. So Madison lost one of its icons yesterday, and so Dick Wagner passed away at the age of 78.
That's amazingly poetic for him to have passed sitting on a park bench while trying to go and deliver groceries.
I believe in a park that he helped create in the late 1970s. That's
just great.
That's like that's a wild ending. That's a storybook almost ending. That's like you said, it's poetic. It's
yeah. You should definitely look up Dick Wagner. For nothing else than to see him in his 80s mustache, next to Tammy Baldwin when she was like 12 years old.
Not 12, but yes.
But like compared to now, she looked like she was 12. You're like, who is that? That's Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah, very young photo of now Senator Tammy Baldwin with the article over at the Cap Times. That was from the archives, but Dick Wagner has passed away at the age of 78. And so getting back to the headlines and the stories we were talking about earlier, the communication breakdown, Brian, is here in Wisconsin. The latest reiteration of it was with the Hmong farming community not being even aware that there was hundreds of millions of dollars in federal COVID-19 relief funds available and accessible if all they did was apply. So a huge failure there on the part of...
So even if they knew about it, a lot of them have a hard time with technology as well.
Correct.
Besides the language barrier, you also have technology barrier.
Correct. And Hmong, Wisconsin has the third largest Hmong population in the country. So the fact that we have the third largest Hmong population, I do not understand how we didn't have better outreach.
Politicians will bring that out and tout it over and over again because it's a real easy anti-racism win for every single, and I've seen both politicians of all stripes do it. And that's fine, but when it comes time to supporting the same community that you're using out to trot out there like a show pony, maybe you should go and make sure they get taken care of.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you should make sure that you, I don't know, foster that relationship beyond the ones that fall off to the end at the last moment when the crisis hits.
Right. I think it's important to remember that a lot of people are excited for the holiday season, thinking that this pandemic is somewhat behind us. This pandemic is not behind us.
They know it's not. They're just sick of it. So they're just going to ignore it.
Well, and that's the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do is just pretend like life is back to normal. But over the last 24 months, life as we know it has changed, and people all over the state and the country are still adapting and trying to recover. And the fact that just because we're over some of the aspects, the mask mandate, the trying to social distance, all the things that you can do, the little things you can do on a regular basis to help mitigate this pandemic, just because you are bored of them and you don't want to do them anymore, those things are important. But also it's important to make sure that we are getting the aid to the people that need it the most, because this is just the most recent reiteration of it. But renters, we do not have an eviction moratorium anymore in this country, mm-hmm. and we are going into the winter. The winter officially starts less than 2 weeks now. I believe December 21st is the quote-unquote official start of winter, and there is nothing in place that will keep people who are being most affected by this pandemic from losing their homes, from being evicted, if they're falling behind. And there's millions upon millions of dollars out there from that the federal government has allocated that is still not getting into the hands of the renters that need it most, Brian. And so it's important, no matter how exhausted and tired you are of this pandemic, you need to remember that there are things that we still need to do, and there are people that are more affected. And just because you can get by in your everyday life thinking that, oh, if I don't think about the pandemic right now, it's not going to affect me. But there are people being affected by this, and there are people missing out, and we need to make sure that our institutions and our communities are taking care of the individuals that are at the most risk.
Yeah, again, the people who have the resources to... That's what bothers me the most, is that this stuff is a resource allocation for people who need it the most.
Yeah.
For people who need it to stay alive, for them to stay moving, and for them to keep their businesses going. Nobody wants to lose a whole bunch of businesses, and then that's a lot of paperwork and everything like that, too. But
what are... The people that need the assistance,
the people that need it the most, need to be the ones you talk to the most every right. single time. And that's why, like, when Jesus was like, hey, let's feed everybody the loaves and the fishes, did you say, well, let's make sure the fed people get fed first?
Yeah.
No, you pass it to the person who's hungry, or the person next to you.
Just everybody. That's, everybody got that, it. Everybody ate till they were full in that parable. Everybody
that parable
ate.
Is my favorite. Because that parable reminds me of what actual miracles are. Because a lot of people like to go and think the miracle was that, you know, Jesus made sprinkled magic and waved his wand and went Wingardium Leviosa, and the next thing you know, there was all these fish and loaves and multiplied. Oh, they multiplied. No, the actual miracle was that everybody took out what they had and shared it with everybody. That's what it was. It's a parable about people actually sharing what they had with the people out. That was the miracle. The miracle was that people gave a crap about the person next to them and fed them.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about.
I forget where I originally heard it, but there's the somebody, I forget if it was a TV show or what, but the individual yells at, I believe there's two kids. It's a dad and two daughters. And he yells at one daughter saying, hey, you never look in your sister's bowl or your neighbor's bowl. You never look in the person's next to you's bowl to see if they have more than you. You always make sure that you look in their bowl to make sure they have enough. And that's that sticks with me. And it's wild to think that just because you got the ability to work from home, or you got the ability to not necessarily be affected by the everyday life of your everyday life isn't affected by the pandemic currently, that you're just going to tune it out and downplay it or just pretend like things are back to normal when they're not. And so we need to make sure that we're keeping an eye on these stories for the Hmong farmers, for the renters, for the people that are still in need of the assistance because things are not back to normal yet, and it's going to take a while for us to get there, but we got to be paying attention to these stories, Brian, because otherwise things like this will continue to fall to the wayside.
Our station, too, we are in the communications business. Our job is to know what's happening as soon as it happens, if not before, as much as possible with the few people that we have working at our station, right?
Yeah.
And still, there were stuff that almost fell by the wayside that we applied for and got, but it was like, oh, this is available to us? Oh, my.
Yeah.
Had no idea. So it's even people whose job it is to communicate with other folks and we communicate with these people all the time, even us, we still had to go and reach out and go, okay, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff available to everybody. Like when I was in radio school, the radio school in downtown Chicago is attended by a lot of people who kind of just left high school and kind of wandered about, and the next thing you know, they're in radio school and stuff like that. That's the majority of it.
Brian, is that how you got there?
It's kind of a predatory thing. I looked at it as an opportunity, but I obviously used the most of my opportunity to learn from there, and I have some great contacts still from there. So I'm not poo-pooing. My point is that the people who they got, who were the people who were the financial aid folks and the people who helped anybody out with any issues or whatever, we need to multiply those people by like 15,000, because those people were like, okay, you got a problem. Okay, you got a limp. I see you have a limp. Your one leg is shorter. You can apply for the one leg shorter grant that is available in this thing. Just make sure you have a residence in Tennessee, and then you can go over here and do this. And like, I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, bureaucracy.
My guidance counselor in high school was like that. She was amazing. She knew all the different things. It was like, if you did this one activity once, you could apply for this thing. And so there are helpers out there. We need more of those people. We need more high school guidance counselors and radio school whatever.
Well,
officials.
I guess this is what's missing really from because right now we talk about the constant railing against government as a horrible thing. You know, the worst thing you can hear is I'm from the government and I'm here to help you, right? That's a phrase that's bandied about all the time.
Yeah.
And I think...
Well, Reagan said
I think a lot
so
of
they
it
all
is,
repeat it because Reagan said it once.
Yeah, exactly. I think what we need to do, I think people put into place all these wonderful programs and things like that. They'll pass a bill, put together a program, and then kind of just... It's there. And then next thing you know, it's just 10 years down the road and the program's still there and funded and everything, but only a certain amount of people know about it, or, you know, it's this or that. And what I feel like is that we have a conglomerate of a whole bunch of programs that are all tangled in everything and purposefully so sometimes, very Byzantine in the way that it's implemented and how many different forms you have to fill out to go and get. We were just applying for IP addresses and we nearly had to go and give away our entire sales plan. But the point is we need to go and close the gap between these programs and the communication to the people with them and make it a lot easier for people to get at them. And a lot of that is technology influence. But the problem is that every single system has a different system and we need to go and make it a little bit more streamlined. But that would entail, I don't know, giving a crap about the government and maybe giving it an oil change here and there.
Yeah, that would be important. And so you're listening to us, Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I think you're right, Brian. It's not just enough to be able to pass these things. The aid getting passed is one hurdle in the political process, but then also going out and letting people know that these things are available is also an extremely important aspect of these programs. So you can't just pass the relief and say it's done. There's a whole lot more to make sure that everybody that needs that relief can get to it. Go ahead.
Forgive me if I'm ignorant, but is there like something like a CPA type of thing, like a certified public accountant type of thing for like, I don't know, bureaucracy or like a certified bureaucrat? Where you can get like your bureaucrat card, where you're a nonpartisan, but you care so much about like charts and things that you're willing to help people fill out
there's
forms.
Masters of public policy, yeah. There's graduate school stuff for that, and I'm sure there's
undergraduate. Let's get people through that policy right now.
This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left of the day. Give us a call 844-967-2789.
TV VCR repair.